passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, our one podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Tuesday, and a lot happening today. And even though he's been retired for 2 months, Nick Saban remains in the headlines. He was on Capitol Hill today. Yes, a former football coach from the SEC works there. Saban's visiting for now. And some very interesting comments as Nick Saban's tour, Eras tour across America and perhaps the world, mentioned a number of things that many of us have wondered about. But earlier today, Senator Ted Cruz asking Saban about his retirement.
You just retired from an amazingly and historically significant coaching career. How much did the current chaos and state of the law contribute to your decision to retire now?
Well, all the things that I believed in for all these years, 50 years of coaching, no longer exist in college athletics. So it's always was about developing players. It was always about helping people be more successful in life. My wife even said to me, we'd have all the recruits over on Sunday with their parents for breakfast, and she would always meet with the mothers and talk about how she was going to help and impact their sons and how they would be well taken care of. And she came to me, you know, like right before I retired, and said, why are we doing this? And I said, what do you mean? She said, all they care about is how much you're going to pay them. They don't care about how you're going to develop them, which is all what we've always done. So why are we doing this? So, you know, to me, that was sort of a red alert that we really are creating a circumstance here that is not beneficial to the development of young people.
Nick Saban's last contract at Alabama was for $12 million a year. He was assured of through his contract that he was always the highest paid coach. We bring in Pete Nakos, who is the highest paid analyst on this show today. And Pete, great to see you. Nick Saban has certainly had a lot to say. He didn't have a press conference after he retired. Maybe he was saving it for ESPN interviews and in Congress. But what did you take away from his appearance today?
You know, obvious really interesting comments today from Nick Saban on Capitol Hill. You talked about that. There's another few moments there today where he talked about how the only thing that matters in college football these days is how much money you have and then paying for players. And it all comes against this backdrop, obviously, Paul, as you mentioned in that opening. I mean, Nick Saban was paid handsomely to coach Alabama football. So that is kind of a nutshell of what we're dealing with right now on Capitol Hill.
Yeah, and there's a lot going on Capitol Hill. Tommy Tuberville had a seminar today with Sage Steele and other people. So this is not unusual. Last summer, we were all up there watching almost everyone who was anybody except us, of course, meeting with Congress. Does this move the needle at all other than the salacious headlines from Nick Saban?
You know, if you asked me about this in July, I would have said no. But, I mean, Senator Ted Cruz is pretty honest today that he thinks it's a 50-50 chance they get something done. And I don't want to be overly optimistic here, Paul, but I think that there is actually some interest in getting a very narrow college sports bill kind of to the floor for a vote in the next 2 months before the presidential cycle really ramps up. Now, what would that include? I think today the takeaways were that a lot of folks, athletic director, Greg Byrne, I believe, and Nick Saban talked about revenue sharing. At the same time, they don't want athletes to be employees, and that could be a hurdle. The other thing to watch here, too, is you have the presidential election cycle coming up, and with that, maybe the GOP takes over Congress, and then do we see something come from that? So I think that this is another setting the stage, and I think only time will tell, but maybe a little bit more positivity today than in times past.
And I'm curious about that because I remember our conversation last summer, Pete, when it seemed DOA. Most have continued to say that. But don't they have to get a bill out of a committee before they get it on the floor?
Yeah, a lot needs to happen for really any movement. But there were moments today, right, where they were speaking about commonality and do the legislators and politicians take those little bits and try to come up with something that is then circulated into yet another bill. I think time will tell. I'm not officially sold on it, but that's obviously what they're peddling in this roundtable.
And I think peddling is a good word. We're talking politics here, but let me go back to Saban for a second. It isn't the same game, but he was also using the system to get players from other schools to help build a championship program. So, I mean, I'm just trying to square it all. You don't cover Alabama. You don't swim in the shark-infested waters like we do over here. How did his comments both last week in various interviews and today on Capitol Hill resonate with you, and how do you think they're going to resonate with other people?
You know, social media these days kind of seems to be the barometer, and a lot of people were throwing around the word irony today on social media when these clips kind of circled around like they were definitely going to. And I think they're right. I think that Nick Saban was obviously extremely successful at Alabama, but to win at such a high level in college football, Paul, and you know this, you need to do certain things. And these days it means winning an NIL. I think you're right. And I guess what I'm trying to say is that Nick Saban definitely did take advantage of the system, and now has a voice to try to fix it. It is ironic, right? He made so much money. Now he supports revenue sharing. What does this all look like moving forward with NIL? I would be naive to say that Alabama obviously didn't have some NIL funds that they used and took advantage of.
And it's not the same game that he coached for 50 years, but I know this. I don't need to act like I don't. He just agreed to a deal with ESPN to continue talking about college football, did he not?
He sure did. He sure did.
Jim Phillips was there, too. He's the ACC commissioner,
yes,
in case anybody has forgotten. His league is under attack legally from one of its member institutions. It's an open question what the future of it looks like. What did Commissioner Phillips have to say today, if anything?
You know, it's obviously a really interesting time for the ACC. They're in this power fight with college football playoff, with the SEC and Big Ten, and how does the revenue distribution sort out? At the same time, he still does have a voice, as we saw today on Capitol Hill. Now, how seriously people are taking it, I'm not quite sure, but similar to a lot of these other commissioners that we continue to hear from, Paul, it's a lot of, I don't want athletes to be employees, I'm not against revenue sharing, and things of that sort. So does he move the needle these days? I'm not really sure. That is not a shot at Commissioner Phillips, but that, at the same time, that is just where the ACC sits right now in the college sports landscape.
Pete, you alluded to maybe some positivity, which is unusual because we don't hear a lot about that. But what's next? With all the things that are on Congress's plate, and we know what they are, what do you think could be the next move in relation to this?
Right. So Senator Ted Cruz put up that discussion draft this summer, which was really NCAA friendly, codified that athletes aren't employees. That never made it to the floor, never really went into more than a discussion draft. Obviously, no NIL bill has ever come up for a vote. So does Ted Cruz and a few of his fellow senators look at that from today and try to kind of craft a bill that he thinks would get some bipartisan support? And that would probably include that athletes aren't employees, but also start to put in some language that athletes should earn a share of revenue. And there's a few on the Democratic side who really want some stipulations about athlete health and wellness. So if that kind of could come together, then I think we could see some movement. But at the same time, Paul, I mean, there is a presidential election coming. There's things going on all over the world. It's 50-50, as Ted Cruz said, but I think that
Pete, hold on. Not that I don't believe anything Ted Cruz says, but can you explain how it's 50-50?
I can't explain how it's 50-50, and that's the point.
Am I right to assume you're taking what he's? Are you taking him at face value? I mean, I don't take any politician at face value. I'm just curious why you are.
I don't know if I necessarily take him at face value, Paul. At the same time, he said 60-40 this past summer, and now it's down to 50-50.
And that's 50. By the way, Pete, that's 50-50 getting a bill passed. Is that correct?
Yes, that is what he said today.
Okay, Pete Nakos.
So I don't take it at face value, Paul. I don't.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure, because if Ted Cruz is selling more things like that, I'm going to stand in line and buy. I mean, he's pretty optimistic for a guy that knows the Senate like we do, and considering that they can't really get any of the bigger ticket items like keeping the government in business for more than 3 weeks at a time. We got all the things that everybody knows about around the world. I just have a hard time imagining how the odds have suddenly increased. But Pete, we'll continue to watch this story. Thank you very, very much. Pete Nakos from On3. That is the headline of the day. There's a lot more going on, and we will cover all of it for you and your phone calls right after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back. Certainly a lot of reaction on that and many other subjects today as we begin the Tuesday afternoon program. The Truth calling us from Birmingham. Hello, Truth.
What's going on, Paul?
Hey, we're doing great. Thank you.
I am a big-time Alabama fan, SEC fan. Have a lot of respect for Coach Saban. But I have to be honest, man, those comments kind of hit a little different. I mean, I feel like if a lot of the big-time programs had got involved with the NIL initially when it got started, we can probably have a solution to that, but they didn't because they didn't really have to. So, and then, you know, this thing of being about, you know, players, you know, just want money. I mean, I don't think that's right, you know, based on the type of money that the coaches do make. This way, you know.
Yeah, by the way, the Truth, I mean, we're talking about did Ted Cruz bother to mention that a coach in his own state cashed in on $75 million for getting fired and doing a pathetic job at Texas A&M? I mean, I didn't hear anybody mention that, did you?
Well, no, but the thing also, when it comes to the politics aspect of it, you know, on one hand, they say shut up and play ball.
Right.
Okay. Now, when it comes down to the money aspect of it, you know, not a politician want to get involved. I don't really pay that any attention. My thing is this. Tell me, this is what NIL has done. And you know this to be a fact. Man, you can play college football, and do you know that your parents or your siblings can never get a chance, or really maybe once or twice, to get a chance to come see you play in person while you score and touch one? Okay, never get a chance to go on the road games. So because of NIL, some of the parents and grandparents and siblings and got an opportunity to go. Then another thing, you'll have people call in and they'll be talking about, you know, the type of money that these guys are getting. But let me tell you something. Y'all don't, they don't, either they don't have a kid that plays sports or they well off. because when you think, when you look at these players on the sideline, you think they all got it. But ask some of the coaches where they go and get some of these kids,
sure.
How they living.
Absolutely.
Okay. Imagine a kid being able to get an NIL and be able to send his mom or his dad an extra $3,000.
Hey, Truth, let me ask you this, because I think you're right. I mean, everybody talks out of both sides of their mouth when it comes to this issue. But you just hit on something. And that's why I have a hard time understanding that this is going to go down the road, because what you're doing here is you're trying to curtail what that young player you just mentioned, who didn't have what many other people had growing up, and now he has a chance to make it, then you're going to put a cap on that. Ted Cruz is going to tell that poor young man and his family that they can't earn it. They have to share it with everyone. I mean, that's not going to work. And by the way, I mean, I just don't know who gave Ted Cruz the title of king of the college football universe. The guy went to Princeton and Harvard, okay? Logan is up next. Hey, Logan.
Hey, Paul. It sounds like Saban's wasting his time. I don't think anything's going to come of this. That, from what I just saw, I don't think Congress is going to do anything. I mean,
By the way, I agree with you on that. And that's why I was a little surprised when Pete Nakos felt like there was a 50. There's not a 50. Odds of this getting in front of Congress this year is impossible because it takes too long to get. I mean, unless they got every single person, and there's some very powerful people up there, including Mitch McConnell, who are behind this. But you watch TV. This Congress isn't going to agree on this issue right before an election.
They got bigger fish to fry anyway. I mean, bigger.
I think they do.
There's no way they're gonna go into college football. But hey, I needed to address Jim. I heard yesterday he called me a criminal.
He did.
And Paul, I was at work. Yeah. So, like, Paul, I got 3 degrees, business degrees. I worked in banking for 20 years, so maybe I am a criminal. I guess.
I don't think you've been convicted, have you?
No, I'm definitely not convicted. And
by the way, that is not a disqualifier to be on the show, as you probably know.
Oh no, I know. I'm a private criminal, like Hunter S. Thompson said, a private criminal. So whatever I do in my private life, I could be a criminal. But Jim, we're talking about this guy, Yellow Tooth. He's a high school dropout. He's a bigot. He's a homophobe. He's a racist. And I'm just sick and tired of him calling in. And he just talks you up, Paul. He just sweet talks you. And then he'll just call back in and just go after somebody. It's like, this guy is schizophrenia, is full blown. I know he's listening today. So, yeah, hey, Jim, what's up, buddy? Yeah, you're crazy, man. So stop calling the show. Nobody wants to hear you anymore. So anyway, Paul, I just wanted to call to defend myself. I was at work yesterday, and then I somebody
Logan, thank
one
you
of my
very,
family
very
members.
Much. You be well. Ricky is up next in California. Hey, Ricky.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. Thanks for taking my phone call.
Thank you.
I was walking my dogs today, and I heard yesterday your show and everything, and I want to respond to 2 things. I have to talk about today. If you give me about 3 minutes, it won't take me long. A caller called yesterday. I know this is not a political show. I was the one that called earlier this week about Barkley. It's not a political show.
Right.
But I recall you, the name of the show is Paul Feinbaum, you know, your show. It's not the Quentin and Paul Feinbaum show, but that's one thing. But you and John did pick at both persons running this year for president, I recall, yesterday. So that's just what I want to touch on that with Quentin. Number two, Alabama basketball. What do you think of their chance of the NCAA tournament?
I think they're a really good team. I don't see how they I don't know what their seeding is going to be, but probably 3 or 4. I think their odds of getting to the Final Four are very difficult.
Okay. Thank you very much, Paul.
Yeah,
I appreciate
by the way,
your time.
I thought they were going to win it all. I thought they were going to win it all last year. So it's not like I have anything against Nate Oates. I just think this team just has a few moments of inconsistency that will get them round of 16, round of 8, somewhere in there. Why don't we continue with more phone calls? And Mike is up next in Charleston, South Carolina. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Paul. It's a beautiful day here in the Shem Creek.
Yes, sir.
I was going to ask you, you know how kind of NFL did the old bait switch where you paid for the NFL ticket, but then you had to pay extra for the Peacock app to watch the playoff. Do you ever see the CFP doing the same thing maybe in a few years where, like, each streaming service, you know, gets rights to where you have to
basically
pay for the streaming
service? I think we're getting close to that now. There's been some talk about the college football playoff, maybe some games in the early rounds. They're about to cut a deal with ESPN. I just don't know I work there, but I don't know any of the people that really matter. So I don't know what they're going to do, but I would think they're going to follow the NFL model. There was so much money that was made off of the Amazon game this year and the Peacock game that I'm sure they'll try it to make back some of the money.
Right. So if even CBS has, you know, or somebody has the rights, so they'll just basically, you know, win the,
yeah.
Especially if it's a really good game, they're like, oh yeah, by the way, this is the app you have to have and pay the subscription.
Well, yeah, I mean, I just think it's the way things are going, and there's just so much money involved, and the money, I was reading something today from quoting a top person in the entertainment world, and he actually said college football is undervalued dramatically. You're going to hear more and more, Mike, in the future about private equity getting involved across the board in college football. We already saw it with FSU, but that was the tip of the iceberg. Anytime an entity looks undervalued, Wall Street is around the corner, and they're not around the corner anymore. They're involved. They're talking to people as we speak. We'll take a short break. Your phone calls continue right here.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Thank you, guys. That is a classified document that I did take home with me and locked in my attic. Welcome back to the program. A lot of people are praising Nick Saban for what he said today because that is baked into the cake because of his stature and because of what he has given back to the game. But not everyone. Joe Anderson, who has been on our program before, who is a writer and a columnist for Slate. He just said this about Saban in response to what he said today on Capitol Hill. He said, our millionaire coaches who receive all manner of entitlements from country club memberships to private plane use love complaining about how their previously unpaid, mostly black labor force expects to be treated with the respect of an employee nowadays. That was in response to what Saban said earlier about how the NFL coaches have told him that the players come to them less developed and with more entitlements than previously. Let's talk to Quentin in Georgia. Good afternoon, Quentin.
Hey, Paul. What's going on, brother?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, what my boy Ricky just called up talking about?
Yeah, he was a little bit upset with
about
you.
My talking yesterday.
Yeah.
He what?
He was a little bit upset with you.
I don't give a damn if he was upset with Jesus. I don't care what he was upset about. I did not hear one time hear you or John call Trump's name, but I did hear y'all bounce around Biden. So if I missed something, correct me.
No. I don't even remember what I said about the president. I just made some lame joke about his age, I'm sure, that everybody else has already made. But you're right. I shouldn't have done it, and I did.
But I just tell you that Ricky little butt hurt. They tell you where he leaned. So he can go to hell. I can care less.
Well, I'll say, listen,
I'm pretty sure you're
certainly welcome to feel however you do about him.
Damn right. He's welcome to view however he view about me. I'm fine with it. I welcome all opinions.
Well, that's what this show's about, sharing opinions.
That'll work.
Usually with decorum, occasionally not.
Oh, yeah, I can bring in decorum, but I ain't going to take nobody calling up lying on nothing I said or nothing I didn't say. I know exactly what I said, and I know exactly what I heard between you and John. So I was just stating that, Paul, man. You have a good day.
Hey, that's fair. Thank you very much. Quentin, calling from Georgia, not happy with Ricky. I'm glad they're 3,000 miles apart right now. Matt.
Hey, brother. How you doing? It's Paul Feinbaum. Look, I'm back in San Antonio living with my sisters. Everybody wants to know where I'm back at right now. I live with her. I'm trying to get in some base income restricted apartments. What that means exactly, before you say anything, Paul, I don't have to make three times what I have to do to qualify for an apartment, or 2.5 times amount of money to qualify for one. I'm trying to get into one. My sister surprised the other day, said, we found one for you. You only have to pay $400 in rent and you get a roommate. The only thing I don't like about it is I like sharing an apartment with a stranger who I know very little about.
Right.
And I'm still trying to take care of things in my life to eventually achieve the goal of working for the UN. But I know it's going to take time because I still got to do my reading program. So I don't care about twerking kids, my you-know-what. But at the same time, I want to ask you about A&M's basketball team. Do you think we can still get in the tournament, and how far do you think we can get? Then I want to talk about football.
No, I don't. I think the tournament. I'm trying. Let me rethink that. A win,
okay.
A win, or maybe two wins. That was a big win last Saturday. So.
Oh, I love Saturday night's win.
Yeah,
let
me correct myself because I think A&M is now on the line. So. Another Buzz Williams run in the tournament like he did, remember, 2 years ago, and I think they could possibly get in. I'm glad I thought about that before I gave a silly comment. Chris is up next in Tuscaloosa. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Paul. How are you today?
We are well. Thank you.
So it's kind of funny. Every time it seems like I call in, like there's some big new development that just follows along with kind of where you thought it was going to go. One thing I would say is, you know, what are the scariest words for any U.S. citizen? We're from the government and we're here to help.
Yeah, exactly.
And, getting Congress involved, you know, that's a bad sign. Usually it means that, again, as I said last week, somebody was laying down on the job. And when you're asking Congress to come in and fix something, why would there be any sense that Congress, of all places in this world, has the answer? Right, not being experts on anything, not having the
background. Hey, Chris, listen. In fairness, there are moments in time when you need the government, and you know those are critical moments because the government prints money, and it's always great to have free money. But I don't understand how all the people that show up in Congress to testify on this issue, how they can now go to Congress for help when they couldn't do the job themselves.
Exactly, right, exactly. I think more, that's more of a sense of CYA, Paul, quite frankly, because, you know, where courts and governments like to get involved is when there are antitrust cases.
No, I agree.
Right? When there's
I respect Nick Saban like everybody watching and listening, but I'm a little surprised that he's allowing himself to be used in this because even though what he says makes sense on one level, it also sounds like he's throwing his players that he just coached under the bus and making them out to be a bunch of spoiled, you know, rotten kids. When I heard him thousands of times, or maybe hundreds, during this football season talk about how great they were and how much love he had for them and more than he's ever had for a team that had come from where they were. I mean, it just seems duplicitous on one level.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, and personally, I don't want to apologize and put words in his mouth, but the conversation has to start somewhere. And the fact is the conversation hasn't started, as I said last week, and that's fully the NCAA has just turned a blind eye to this.
No, the NCAA doesn't. I sat in Washington last year with the president of the NCAA blaming the NCAA for the problems we're having. And I'm like going, I understand what you're saying. You were not the president, but it's still the same organization.
Yeah, it's still your issue. That's what you get when you get to sit in the big chair.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't have to take the $3 million a year job with the private plane.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you get paid those bucks for.
Yeah.
And, oh, by the way, you're getting paid big bucks, and you don't even coach. You don't even play anything. And you're not...
Yeah, by the way, at least Saban... I mean, Saban earned his money. He really did. I don't care how many country club memberships he got. He still earned it. By the way, these players are earning whatever they're being paid. That's the market.
You're right, Paul. And I think, you know, here's the thing. If I could wave a magic wand and put it in place just the way it needs to be and take care of players, you know how far back I would go, personally? I would go back all the way to Tyrone Prothrow.
Yeah, I agree.
A perfect example of somebody whose college career was cut short due to an injury, but yet could still have had a base of something, right, and been well compensated. Now, let me give you a flip side on that. Imagine what would have been the impact had full-blown NIL been in place when Johnny Manziel was in college.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've heard Manziel say he would have, Manziel nearly got run out of the sport for taking a couple of bucks.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
I mean, I understood it. I mean, he invited a lot of it, but he would have been worth $10 million. Talk about this. You had Manziel in 2013. How about you go back to 2008? What do you think Tebow would have been worth?
Yep. Oh, what he'd be worth right now, right? I mean, there are college players here. I know lots of them in town, right? Who are my customers and things like that here in town. And like, you know, they forge those. Their legacies, right? And they utilize that as they're able to, you know, in their careers and things like that, right? I told you about meeting, you know, one of them last couple weeks ago, right? But I guess where I'm at, Paul, is, you know, there's other things. Think of all the issues that they have at the professional sports level, right? Around money, right? How do they manage the money? Do two run out? It's like hit the lottery, and they're worse off a year later when the money's gone and spent on whatever else. And there's all kinds of other things that can come in. Those are the types of things that have to be thought about as a support system for this, right? Like, how do you help those players understand how to manage that and utilize that, again, using Saban's words, to set the foundation of value for them and their families. You're absolutely right, and you can't ignore the fact that these people come in from all different walks of life. Bo Scarborough, I'm going to tell a story. Bo Scarborough just announced that he retired, right? Running back at Alabama.
Right.
My mother-in-law fed him multiple times in high school because he played high school football with my nephew, and he was constantly over there, and she'd feed a bunch of them, right, who, you know, may not have had what they needed. And it's like, that's just kind of something that happened. And, you know, she said that again. She goes, oh, I remember. I've met him many a time. I go, that's great. You know, but at the end of the day, right, it's those types of things within, you know, those kind of pressures and family pressures. How many times have we seen players, you know, we had there was a big news about, I forget the player now, who transferred back to be close to home because maybe there's something going on and they don't have the means to manage that. Those are the types of things. I really feel like Nick Saban was talking about that for several years, saying, what can we do? How can we support them to take, you know, to fully support them in what they're trying to become and to try to develop them. And that includes helping them take care of things that are needs that they have in, you know, for themselves and for their families that are a reality. Like, that absolutely is where it comes from. Miss Terry did not do the things she did when you had players who didn't have, couldn't go back home for families, or took things to, like, a player's mom who was in the hospital. Like, you can't, it's disingenuous to think that he didn't care about his players, but I think the conversation has to start, and when that, you know, when the reality and the ugly reality of money getting into a sport,
No, hey, Chris,
right?
I hate to run. We're up against the break, but thank you very much. Excellent call. Yeah. Fantastic. We're heading to the break. A lot going on. We're only in the first 43 minutes, most of the conversation about Nick Saban in front of the Senate today.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back, we check in next with Rick, who is up next in Houston. Hello, Rick.
Good afternoon, Paul. So, hey, we had an interesting phone call yesterday, and I was not aware until that phone call that the Fountain of Youth must be located in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
You're talking about Mr. Jim?
Yes, sir. Mr. Jim, who said that, didn't he say he had strep at 3 or 4 years old, and that was, and that happened, he said, 25 to 30 years ago?
Yeah, and then he took, what was it, I can't remember the name of the drug. It was some antibiotic for strep, and he ended up getting yellow teeth or gray teeth or some kind of teeth. I'm not up on my periodontics.
He used was yeller.
Yeah, that's what he did say. Yeller, you're right. I remember that was one of my favorite books in grade school. Old Yeller.
Terribly sad ending. If you're a dog lover,
I still. If I ever read it again, I would skip the final chapter.
Yeah, you know, Paul. On sad dog stories. Did you ever see the movie Homeward Bound with the two dogs and the cats?
I think so.
Cat. Oh man, my oldest daughter always cried like a baby during that movie, and she still would to this day. But man, Jim's a young feller based on that math. Of course, you've got a good 4 or 5 year buffer in there to kind of figure out either how old or how young he actually is.
Yeah, I mean, I think Jim right now is somewhere between 35 and 80.
Yes, sir. All right, Paul. Well, hey, man, have a good day. We'll see how the caller bracket works out.
Hey, thank you very much. We stay in Houston. Colin is up next. Hello, Colin.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Real quick, I completely agree with everything Nick Saban said. From a fan's point of view, I think the NIL and transfer portal together are destroying college football as we know it. As a fan, I just don't follow recruiting websites anymore. It's, you know, what's the point? Just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Well, listen, on one level, you're right. Everything he has said is true. The game has changed. But what made Nick Saban so great as a coach? He adapted. He changed. Even when he hated doing so in the last couple of years. I mean, he won the last 2 or 3 years because he started doing the same thing that Jimbo Fisher was doing in getting players. He's entitled to complain about it now. I mean, he wasn't in Congress. He wasn't subpoenaed. I mean, he went voluntarily because he does want to have an impact. The problem is what is going to change now? Congress seems to be the last resort, but I'm not even sure that is going to solve the problem of where college football is. It is far gone from the game that we grew up watching.
Yeah, so at what point do fans get so fed up with it to where we can't follow any of the players that we've been following since recruiting?
It's true. Well, I tell you what, the last game I went to was at the Rose Bowl. It was impossible to get a ticket. Now, at some point, will it change? I don't know. I still believe college football is the greatest game because it's so unpredictable. There's so much passion. The NFL is the most popular sport, but college football is a completely different sport, as we all know, watching and listening to this show. But I don't think we're there yet. I don't think the end of the world has arrived.
Okay, I can deal with that.
Yeah, I mean, but for everyone who says it's not the same sport, what is the same? I mean, unless you're 14 years old, and even if you are a teenager, things have changed since you were born. I mean, we've all seen it. If you're 80 or 90, you grew up post World War II. Television was just being invented, not invented, but being introduced. I remember going to record stores. You can still go to record stores, but I mean, everything is different. And I think that's progress. I don't know why everybody thinks, including Nick Saban, why college football is dead. It's not the same. I can't wait for the season. I wish the season was starting tomorrow. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.